Hey all, Alex here. You've probably got a load of Gilmore podcasts in your feed right now. Most of them will be talking about the Shepherds, I think, because they look pretty sweet. We haven't had a chance to play around with them yet, so don't expect that from us today. Also, it's been a while since we've done an episode, so just a gentle reminder that this is not the place to come if you're coming for, like, top strats and, like, tech talk and stuff. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Firm. I don't want to say season three of The Firm, but what do you say? The Firm 2020.
The Firm 2020.
When you turned around and went, "All right, we should record a podcast, it'll be our first of 2020, I'm like, surely not. It's like the end of February.
It's almost March. me again. Last interruption, I promise. Yep, sorry, been busy. If it's any consolation, the next ones are at least recorded and I just need to release them.
Yeah, I'm going, kind of a problem, isn't it? Probably get on the mic. How have you been, Alex?
I mean, it's been a long time. I'm not exactly the man I was.
We should make a rule where we only feature when we're recording. That'll get him back into it. We've been doing too much non-recording shit.
That's it, I mean...
But I'm... You know what? I'm having a pretty good 2020 so far. I hope you are too, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the fireworks that I had for the New Year's Day have gone off now. But, I'm still feeling... that. I think we're ready to go. We're coming at 2020 hard.
It took 2 months to feel good about 2020. Yeah.
Well, it did. Like, what the... Like, honestly, what has happened this year? This year's just been a...
Well, on the bright side, it's been a while since we've been here, but other than kind of like the last shit we talked about that we knew in the interview, Steamforge have been quite good to us and like nothing happened.
Yeah. It's not like we've got to go, right, okay, news roundup. Okay, everyone, it's pretty much, Pundit's gone, Champion's in. I mean, some decisions have been made there, haven't they?
First off, Steamforge got bought out. Like, they're a corporate entity now.
Investors came on board.
I
don't think they were completely bought out.
But, you know, a guy who formerly worked for GW was now the directing manager. Guy, the jig up, the party. Like, and again, I know people are really close to the company. We all know people who work at the company. We've talked with Brian, we've talked with Jamie. We see people who work for them all the time.
And when you get to these tournaments and they're there, it's not like they put a velvet rope around themselves.
We're happy walking up to Brian or Dominic or Jamie and shaking hands. Like, it's not like going, ooh. The whole thing is, right, there's a very personal relationship with the people of the company.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, the throwing around millions of pounds, I don't mean to put too harsh of a tone on it, but the jig is up. And you've got to actually, you can't have that much money floating around and having investors dropping literally millions of pounds into your company. Some woman's going to put their foot in that door eventually. Yeah, it's good to have, like, basically a corporate entity come in.
Mm.
But, I don't know, like, I'm half and half, as normal. Like,
as usual.
Yeah. On one hand, it's good to kind of lose that personal touch. But on the other, like, how long did you think that was going to keep up for?
No.
Like, I hate corporations much in that guy, but here we are.
Ryan, you have to live quite so relentlessly in the real world.
Like, I get it, but... Yeah. It both sucks, and what did you expect?
Yeah, but you know, the other piece of Steamforge news, as you said, there's not been a whole lot. Other piece of Steamforge news is SteamCon 2019/2020 is no more.
I didn't attend the last few. In fact, I've never been to one. I don't know why I said that. I didn't attend the last few.
I went to two. I really enjoyed them.
Yeah,
really enjoyed them. It's a shame. I'm disappointed. I was looking forward to it.
The thing they're going to put on the convention. And we've been to the Forge a bunch of times. Great venue.
Yeah.
Load of room. They've got, you know, stuff to eat, stuff to drink.
Mm.
No hand towels and toilet, but you can't have everything. You know, we've always room to improve. That's what I like about it. But the Forge will never have that convention feel. Mm. There is something about... There's something about being in an empty warehouse.
I think the convention feel for me is the... This is going to sound stupid, and I don't know how many people are going to agree. For me, it's that the sort of childishness of it. Like, don't shout. What I mean is, it's that sort of sleepover aspect. That sort of, oh, I'm not at home. Like, oh, there's no bedtime, boys. Let's Guild Ball till 2 a.m. Do you know what I mean? Like that sort of fact of, what are you doing tonight? Well, I was thinking of playing enough Guild Ball until I feel physically ill from not sleeping. And then what you can do? Probably drink some more coffee and carry on.
Yeah.
The shop floor's closing. Okay, cool. back to the room, I brought a pitch. Like, and then that sort of thing. And then what are you going to do tomorrow? I'm going to slam two espressos and do it again.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah.
I booked Monday off to sleep. You know,
Your weekend is doing that thing.
Exactly. You've got
a kind of level of freedom. It's like when your wife goes away and you're like going, great, I now have the utter freedom to stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning playing Civilization. That's different than going, I'm going to go chill out in another room. You do what you want to do. Like, no, it's not the
same. It's not the same. It's not the same.
I'd already bought the Doritos from my popcorn. Yeah. I'd already brought all the gluten I could eat. you've been in a different room in the same thing. I need you to go away.
it's the shamelessness of it.
Yeah, that is the thing, isn't it? Like, and
I need to be able to watch Robocop 1, 2, 3, and then I need to be able to watch Terminator, like, the entire series. And I just... It's different.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the same when we went to the Scottish National Championship.
Yeah.
There was this road trip element to it, you know? Yeah. We drove all the way up, you know? We almost got killed by that truck. then on a night, you know, we hung out. We played, like, a load of Yu-Gi-Oh! In the room. And, you know, it was like sort of... there's just some sort of thing to it that I feel that, woo, multiple events at the Forge.
Yeah, like, it's hard not to get a feeling of it. It just feels like a slightly big local. And we've talked to other Guild Ball guys about this, and we're saying, like, my kind of opinion on it generally, I'm not saying they can't do something great at the Forge, worth going to, but it'll never have that same vibe as a proper convention. And that is just the sad reality of it.
Yeah.
But I am hopeful.
Yes, I will say I'm looking forward to them. I'll be booking the first one that I can get my hands on. Because like, there is also that thing of... the amount of times I walked past God Tier and I went at SteamCon last year and I was just like, that looks so good. I'm going to play that at some point. Never did. Just kept playing Guild Ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at that. They've got Resi out. That Resident Evil looks great. I'm going to play Guild Ball again. So I kind of understand it from that perspective in so much as like... God Tier is becoming its own thing. It's not even becoming its own thing. It is its own thing now.
Yeah.
It's no longer a cart tacked onto the back of this train. It's split at the station.
Yeah.
Stay with me on the metaphor. It works. and I feel like it shot off. You kind of, it makes sense to then sort of go, right, well, this is God Tier weekend at the Forge.
Yeah.
Do you want to play God Tier until your eyes bleed? Come on down.
Well, yeah, I've said, like, when we won two playtest events before, it had a different feel than a tournament.
Mm.
And especially something quite nice about, like, going, we're getting stuff we weren't meant to be, you know.
Yeah.
And I think if I can capture that vibe of, like, going, this isn't just a tournament where you get to play a bunch of games. It is, like, you'll see stuff here you normally wouldn't get to see. You get the latest and new exciting information. But instead of having to wait for all the convention stuff and go, well, after the keynote about God Tier and the Dark Souls reminder and blah, 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 all the rest, I'll finally get to my Guild Ball stuff. It's like, well, I'll go to the Guild Ball then. I'll hear all about Guild Ball.
There's not going to be that sort of, okay, guys, we're going to give you that the presentation, and then I'm going, woo! And then I'm going, okay, so we're releasing the expansions, and you're sort of going, have I got time to get to the bar and back before they start talking about the rookies? and it's not to say, like, it's so hard to come at this and not sound negative, because I'm really not trying to sound negative. Yes, I'm disappointed that SteamCon is not going to happen. No, I do not now think that anything they ever do in the future is doomed, right?
Yeah. I can replace SteamCon. I've never been to one. To be fair, there is more chance of me coming to this kind of event, whatever they've got planned, than a SteamCon. Because, like, okay, I have to book a weekend off.
That's what this is. That's what I mean. I'm hoping that I'm going to have to go to the Forge and stay in that hotel right around the corner. And you go down to breakfast and you look across and you just go, there is 100 Guild Ball nerds having breakfast and there's a really confused looking bloke in the corner trying to do some work from a laptop. You know what I mean? Like, just that sort of community thing. And
I do like a hotel breakfast.
It's trying to say it where, like, just because SteamCon's gone doesn't mean they're necessarily throwing the baby out of the bathwater. The awesome weekend long experience can still be there. I will throw my toys out the pram if they aren't weekend long.
I'm gonna definitely put my I'm gonna put my tapper firmly in the area of cautiously optimistic.
Mm.
And I'm going to go at one. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm actually, when you go, I think I'm going to come along.
Yeah.
I, again, that's all I can say about it. Gosh, that's a bit thick. Let's see what happens. Well, again, I don't, like I said, I don't want to be negative, but what can I say about it? I know nothing about when they've got
one. Oh, well, I mean, the World Championships and the LCQ are happening at UK Games Expo.
Okay.
I mean, good luck trying to get a room in Birmingham now, because, like, they're just gone.
Airbnb in Comic Con.
there's always Airbnb.
Go and sleep in your car.
Look, do you want to play Guild Ball or not?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Okay, I'm the kind of guy who can sleep anywhere. People go like, do you want to pay 200 quid a night for a hotel? No. Do you want to sleep in a car? Yeah.
Here comes the VW camper with the firm on the side.
I don't want sleeping bag in.
You know what? I wonder how much it would be for us to get like a camper van or something.
Look into it. Just a van. Yeah. we'll always sunny it. Just throw a mattress in back.
So this is a good way to find out. If anyone from Steve Ford's listening, could you just drop us an inbox and let us know what would happen if we parked a camper van in the car park of the Forge overnight at one of these events? Cheers.
Speaking of going out there into the wide, wide world, you've been in Sheffield.
Yes.
Without me.
Yeah. I left you behind. I cut the dead weight. And I soared. I became a new man without you, Ryan.
I did half expect that, actually. When you texted me going, oh, I'm off to Tom in Sheffield. I went, oh, I've got today off. I was meant to be working, to be fair. Oh, well, I'm gone now. Too late for that shit. But, you went to Sheffield Renaissance.
Yeah, it's, which is such a shame, because like the name Sheffield Renaissance, it was the Sheffield guys, Lee and Martin, were trying to sort of like build a new community, to sort of create a new series of events, to sort of like run going forward, like big up the Sheffield local. Awesome, loads of people got behind them. It looked like it sold out almost immediately. So many people were going, and the prize support that they managed to put out was amazing. They did so much, and they did everything right. Everything went right on the day. And they've lost the venue. I hope they keep it up. I hope they like find a scout hut or something.
There's always more venue. You'd be surprised at where you can pitch a tent.
Mm.
And good luck to them in that endeavour. But this is one of your, like recently, one of your strongest tournament shows.
Oh my God, I know, right? So we went to a team event at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Leodis team, a team event in Leodis in January. Towards the end of the month, and I lost every single game I played.
Yeah,
it was three rounds. I lost three games. When we've been scrimmaging, I've been losing a lot. I've been on one hell of a loss streak since the start of this year. To the point where, before I went to this event competitively, I was batting a zero. So to come out of the back of this event in Sheffield, having won three games, only losing one. Pretty pleased with that.
Yeah. I would be too. Good, going to round one.
Yeah, round one I played Chris Place, who played back end of last year at the breast cancer team event that we went to. And he was playing engineers at the time. And that's when I was playing navigators. And really good laugh, really good guy. Again, we had a good game. I played Shark, which is the first time I've played Shark in competitively in a long, long time.
Yeah, you're kind of fallen back in love with Shark a bit, aren't you?
Well, I'll tell you what it is, and I'll tell you what I've been telling people. I've been trying to make Corsair work, and Corsair does work. What I've been trying to make work is Scorsair, right? It's Corsair, Tentacles, and Four Strikers. Now, it's very good, but I don't think I'd even really notice what I was doing, but looking at it with an honest set of eyes, I think I was just trying to find my own thing. Find like this tiny little nugget of just, oh yeah, that's me, I made that. Yeah, it's a Scorsair list. What's the idea? Rough Seas is the idea. The entire plan is Rough Seas. But like, and the fact that people don't remember it. But then you sort of go, so what are you going to do? Well, it's a 3-0 team because, maybe Corsair gets one takeout on his own, but it'll struggle to get two. Right, so you're playing 3-0 as Fish. Yeah, isn't Shark just better at that? And unfortunately, yes he is.
Yeah,
it's like, who would have known the superstar striker captain is the superstar striker captain?
Yeah. At the end of the day, Sharkey stole a 7'9" guy with an 8-inch kick. That alone makes him quite potent on the board. Dodge on one.
Well, I think one of the biggest things about him is just the fact that, like, how many times we said it, we're like, strikers, one of the quickest ways to turn a striker off when you're playing into them, mess with their influence. Because if they take four influence, they usually need all four influence. You know, a sprint, a shot, and at some point they'll probably want to try and tackle you or do something like acrobatics.
Yeah.
Or maybe charge into you to bounce off with the tackle. So when you've got a six influence, a standard striker model with six influence is going to be great.
Yeah.
And he's also backed up by, he's got light-footed, you know, he's got a really good playbook. And he's, the only thing I want is that tackle to be on one or to tackle to be momentous. But if he got that, he would get literally everything in the world.
Yeah.
That legendary as well. Now I've started remembering to use it. My word.
Only, the -4/-4 movement, legendary. With a 6-inch pull.
Mm.
Fucking obliterating team.
Ruinous.
Yeah, there are plenty of teams who just, once that's used, effectively, there are a lot of models who just don't get a turn.
Yeah. If you can get a clear shot to a goal, so like you aren't losing dice or anything, and you can't quite make it to the tap in for Sharks, you might as well be at the 8 inches. If you score the goal and dodge away, you're 12 inches away. If you manage to fire off caught in a net beforehand, I mean, who's getting to you?
Yeah.
Like, it's so good to be able to just go, you know, that, like, even little things like, you know, that 4-2 trade, there's no trade there now. I'm just up.
Yeah.
I'm just up. Or, like, the when you can go in, or, like, if you can, after scoring at the bottom of a turn, if Shark just goes, right, a legendary and run away.
Yeah.
And it's just go, okay, cool. So I've now got 5 activations to do what I want with my influence. And I guess you just stand there looking at me, trying to move forward.
Yeah.
It's so good. So good.
Again, it's a powerful, powerful tool. Mm. And there are a lot of teams without basically shenanigans effectively don't have an answer for it.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're engaging from a shark at the extent of 2 inch and you blow caught in a net and you do the 4-inch dodge away, for even 8-inch sprinter, that is effectively just out of range without... At the best, if you've got 8-inch melee, if you've got 2-inch melee and 8-inch sprint, you can then engage him at the very extent, and then your counter attack will be godlike.
And it's not just Shark, because he's obviously got the rest of the Fisherman's Guild to back him up.
Yeah.
So, like, I found that I was using a very similar list to what I've been trying to make work with Corsair, and with Corsair, I've been beating myself around the head with Corsair Tentacles, Fathom Angel, one of the Sirens, and Veteran Takana, and I've just found that when you swap captains and just literally swapping in Shark, it works so much better.
Yeah.
It just suddenly, like, everything clicked into place. It was just like, oh yeah, yeah, this is literally my captain. Feels like he was made for me. I almost feel like it, like my I allocate my influence, and if I've got, and if like my opponent goes first, they take their first activation and it comes back to me. Or if I go first, it's my activation. I feel like I look down at the table and Shark just sort of turns up, looks at me and just goes, right, boss, what are we doing? And, do you know what I mean? I feel like I'm just going, me and Shark, we know, we talk to each other. We understand each other. We feel each other, because I then just look at him and I just go, Shark, get that ball, score the goal. And I feel like he nods and turns 6 influence into a goal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's at the end of the day, a lot of striker style captains, their strength, it's just they get to hit in time.
Yeah.
So that kind of initial thing of like going, well, I'm going to charge in, I need one for the kick, and I've got one insurance hit.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
okay, well, shit, the charge you go, you're defensive, and now counter-attacked.
Yeah. But whenever anything goes wrong with Fathom, it's because it's just like, cool, I've got acrobatic, I've got the charge, and I've got the shot. And it's just like, cool, acrobatic to get the angle, charge in, okay, I didn't hit the result.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Pass back to someone else if I haven't been counter-attacked and tackled.
Yeah.
Like, the great thing about Shark is that ability to go, cool, I've got this fat stack, and it's just like, bang, dodge, 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 and get where he needs to go.
Yeah.
Or, because he's got so much influence, if it is, okay, I hit the momentous dodge, okay, I'm at the cusp of 2, okay, you've got 2 inches as well, over to you for your counter-attack, cool, I tackle you, and it's like, brilliant, I've still got 5 influence left, here we go. Like...
Yeah, he can really take his time with encounter.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, yeah, classic problems, like low control, even shit like unpredictable movement. Any number of things that could go wrong with your regular striker, Just the fact to get a turn.
Yeah.
Or five turns, technically. But yeah, I'm like, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've eaten close control. I've got a bunch of momentum. He generates momentum very easily, which is where Corsair... I wouldn't say struggle, but...
Well, that's the thing. With Sharp, when he's generating momentum, he's generating it, doing it what he wants to be doing. With Corsair, it's just like, oh, I really want to take the damage, but okay, it's the momentous push, it's the momentous double push, it's the momentous knockdown, which, you know, is great, but, you know, where a shark's just going, well, I'm moving towards the goal and gaining momentum the entire way.
Yeah.
And Shark is just phenomenal for that. Right, okay, how much momentum have you got? Your opponent goes, I've got 5. I look down and I go, right, I've got 1. Okay, well, Shark's got the ball, but he's a bit halfway down the pitch. Okay, so this activation, he's going last, going in, turning 6 influence into 6 momentum, secures me next turn. He then goes.
Yeah.
at which point you just go momentous dodge with the first hit, dodge out, run into the middle where you can hit as many people as you can with the legendary. Right, there you go. If you can all just have an awful time now, thank you. I'm going to tidal surge myself in and bang, back of the net.
Yeah.
How has it taken me so long to like Shark?
Oh, you like me. You want to be... The point of... I like that you enjoy the game the same way I do. It's that the part of the game is the puzzle of playing the game. And just going, I'm just like, Shark, striker captain for the striking... Fuck all that! I don't need that! And do me wrong, I think you've done really well, Cocker. I don't think you have problems with that captain. But like, yeah, I think I said to you, like, yeah, Schmidt, because I think you said to me before the tournament started, going like, oh, I'm thinking on who I should play to who, and I went, just make peace with the fact you're a fucking goal-scoring guy. Like, you're fucking up.
I've been telling you for 3 years to play Shark.
Oh, like, I'm happy for you to play Cocker and all that shit. Like, you know, improve your takeout game, understand it, whatever. But at the end of the day, what you enjoy is it's never an issue of strategy, it's a matter of what you like doing in the game.
Mm.
In the same way, I don't like to play fucking... Would it be great for me to bring, like, fucking Edge or Friday and Fetch Bigger or whatever, you know, to my... Would it be good to have some football game on my team? Yeah, but it's not why I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's not why I play the game.
What do you like? I like big numbers.
I like grabbing all the models and strangling them to death. And if they force me to score a goal, I'll do it.
Yeah.
In fact, my style is being difficult. Just like, I just like not letting them have what they want.
Yeah,
you're the same way. You want to play the goal scoring game. You've gone through the other captains. You've tried your best to make it work. But you enjoy football.
Mm-hmm.
Time to just make peace for that now.
My name's Alex, and I'm a goalaholic. Yeah, like...
You've got a problem. There's no need for rehab in this world. Like, just fuck you and break it.
You know why I think I like Yukai so much? Because they score goals. I mean, like,
and the funny thing, once you've embraced it, you did immediately better.
Yeah. So yeah, I played Chris, came out of that 12-4. It was much closer than 12-4 would suggest.
Mm.
It's the only thing about when you play a game and when you finish a game and like maybe you're at a tournament or something and you've got that thing where you look across, like you finish your game and you look across and you're scanning the room for the people you came in the car with or the people that you know like really well, and you're sort of looking at them, and when you got them you sort of do the upward head nod to get their attention, and then like sort of the eyes sort of go yeah, no, and you either get the yes or the no, right? And then you sort of weave your way past all the people to get past all the games that's still going on, and you have a chat, and like, so how'd it go? And people go, and you might get people go, oh, 12-2, 12-0, 12-10, whatever. The thing about this particular game is that it was 12-4, a hypothetical 12-10.
Yeah.
It was like 12-4, but everyone had like one health.
Yeah.
Like, because Thresher and the Thresh squad had threshed. I'd just been able to control it quick and finish the game quickly enough. Had I missed a goal, or had Chris been able to slow the game down just ever so slightly more, dead in the water, good game, I lose. Yeah. You know, so that's the thing about that 12-4. It was much closer to like 12-8, 12-10.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will be honest. Like, when I finished that game, that is the first competitive winning goal war I've had for a good few months, and I was just like, hey, I remember how to play this game. Yeah. You know, like, oh man, yeah. And then this win, yeah, puts me into top table for round 2, and I played into Dom. I had Farmers back to back,
yeah,
and this time Dom brought Festival, Now, I didn't ask him, but I kind of wanted to know, because we've played a couple of times now, and I don't know if it even, if like, it might not have even crossed his mind, but I don't know if at any point he saw me, saw my models that I had there, and just went, I do not have to worry about being taken out here.
Yeah.
You know? And whether that was why a festival was dropped. Because, like, my mind was boggling for, like, the first turn and a half. I ended up receiving. So Amber takes her full jog forward, nudges it over the line. And so I've got my shark squad down. Retrieve the ball, pass it along. And it's just like, okay, well, I'm shark retrieving. What are we going to do? We're going to pass it down the line. And someone's going to missile up and score a goal, please. And so I was like, okay, cool. Pass the ball along. Okay, we've got Amber to worry about. You know, maybe we'll put it on someone with high defense.
Yeah.
We'll put it on someone with high defense, and we'll try and create like a pretty nasty 2-inch melee bubble. Let's put some defense on this, yeah. So pass it across, and then Dom just goes, okay, cool. Festival goes, uses a legendary, and I was just like, oh no. So just suddenly Dom's deployment zone was like 5 inches forward.
Yeah.
Amber obviously didn't have to worry about being taken out. She was obviously at the cusp of it. She's now just on my deployment line, basically. And I suddenly had that thing of just sort of looking at the table and just going, I can hear the Pokemon low health music right now. And sort of like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm just like, he's got momentum from kicking. What am I going to do? Amber comes in, scores. I put the ball back out. Obviously nowhere safe.
Yeah.
Gets it, scores again. I'm like, I managed to get a goal just to stop it being like, there was a point where for the first like sort of turn and a half I was just sort of reeling and going, I don't know what to do here, I don't know how to get back in this game. I had that horrible thing of I need to put this in a safe place. Okay, cool, there's no safe place, let's just process that for a moment and then deal with it. So I quite quickly realised I need some points on the table just to not get 12-0'd. Let's score a goal and tap out. Dom just completely ran away with it. Just completely ran away with it. He just outpaced me the entire game, out-tempoed me, controlled the board better than me. There was just, you know what? He played Guild Ball better than I did that day. do you know what I mean? It was just no particular story to be had there.
The one thing where, I don't want to be that guy, but when you go into a new captain and new team, Amber and Festival about as new as Farmer's Models get.
I think they are as new as Farmer's Models get.
And I don't want to call. It's that thing of like you've got that trickery factor going on where you're like going, all right, you've got some kind of plan going here. And there's always that feeling of like going, fuck, there we go, that's the thing I forgot about. Or, you know, you get caught sleeping a bit. Because like the answer takes some coffee. Amber goes out, okay, Festival for Legendary. I'll just walk a guy in front of Amber. You've got to go perpendicular. You can't push me out of the way. Yeah, Kraken, hello. Walk in front of you. Okay, that just ends. And now you're engaging Kraken.
2-inch close control with balls gone. So the thing I was most terrified of the entire game was counter attack balls gone.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, all casts avoid going into Amber when have ball. I apologise to Dom after the game, actually, because I had one of their moments where I was just like, okay, cool, Veteran Zakana's going to do this. And Dom was like, okay, cool, Tater, fork off, counter charge. I didn't vocalise any of this, I just had that sort of, I think I went very still and sort of psychopathically calm, whereas inside I was just like just sort of slapping myself around the face, just going, what are you doing? You know Tater's got counter charge. Like, it's that thing where it's just like, oh, I know he's got that.
I feel like we have the conversation once per tournament of like going, look, a guy with counter charge and a guy with unpredictable movement. And I'm going to say it again. I want them removed from the game. I've gone like, you know, up and down going, oh, you know, maybe there could be all the good place for him. I'm like, I just want them removed. They honestly are just fucking like mood ruiners. Like,
mood ruiners, that's such a good way of putting it. I was just like, because I was, at that point, I was so far on the back foot, and I was just fighting to try and stay in the game. I was fighting to stay relevant, not even fighting for like vying for top position. Dom like had that. He had his foot on my neck this entire game. He, like I said, just completely outclassed me, outpositioned me, out everythinged me. And then it was just like, cherry on the cake was just the fact that I forgot counter charge, and I was just like, because it's that thing where I stood there and I was just going, I'm not this bad at Guild Ball. How am I being this bad at Guild Ball? Completely agree with you that I don't like them being in. I think this is a topic that. This has been flogged to death, and I think we'll draw a line under this, but not just by us. I think as a Guild Ball sort of content output community, this topic has been flogged to death.
Yeah, right? I just like to throw my chip in every time and go, just a reminder, still hate it. In fact, from now on, I'll make a gentleman agreement just to go, every time unpredictable account charge come up ever again, I'll just go like, yeah, still want it removed.
That's it. I think we'll draw a line on it and we'll just go, the official stance of the firm is, we don't like it. Right? It's like, and I know that, like, what was interesting was when the last sort of round of interviews about the new captains were going out, we were hearing a lot about power budget.
Yeah.
And I think that unpredictable movement, counter charge, fork off, things like that, that's all probably baked into a model's power budget.
Yeah.
So something's going to have to be done there. If, like, they couldn't just put a blog post out going, by the way, if you've got unpredictable, just cross it out on the card, right? Like, it's there because it's part of their defensive tech, you know? But I'm still agreeing with you. I'm saying, like, I understand that they can't take it out tomorrow. I would absolutely love to, like, hear one of the dev team just go, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? But it's just, gotchas, I think, don't have a place in the game. But it shouldn't, just what I reckon. I don't think gotchas place in this game anymore. I think it's such a tight rule set, such a strategically sound game that, like you say, like how come you won that game? Oh, you forgot. You know what I mean? Well, but it's like, I must say that this particular activation, it wasn't like game ending. It was, Sakana's going to go in and just try and do something. I'm going to try and achieve something with this activation.
Yeah,
and
it was just a complete kick in the teeth.
It was just that thing of, Sakana jogs up, I'm going to bag a coffers myself and try and get a bonus timed hit just for a bit of momentum. Right. He jogs up. Okay, counter charge. And I was just like,
that's the thing. I know I've said many times, it's not up to the opponent to help you win.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me,
that's it. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
I put my flag down on that one.
I think it can be summed up best with, don't hate the player, hate the game. And I thoroughly enjoyed my game with Dom.
Yeah, I like Dominic, don't get me wrong, for a second. Good player, Dom, though. He's a fucking rock solid player. That's the thing. I know we had a bit of a bitch about that. But to be fair, you're like, kid, you're already losing.
Should we grovel a bit more to make it sound that we're not, like, having a go at him?
Yeah.
Is this thing off? Is this thing off?
Now the mic's off.
Can you hear that? I think that's the sound of our media membership getting revoked.
Who did you play in round three?
I played Mr. Edward Raise the Banner Wilkins.
Oh, very good. Did he use
Counter-Charge?
No. Well, that sounds like a good game. Carry on. Who did you play? What guild did you play?
It was River Engineers.
Ah.
So whenever I see Engineers when I'm playing Fish, I just close my eyes and I'm just going, pick Colossus, pick Colossus, pick Colossus, pick Colossus, pick Colossus. And when it's just like, cool, I'm going to bring Colossus, I was just like, yeah, original Siren, seduced for days. Because I was really surprised that I didn't see Spade in the list. It was Rivet, Mainspring, Veteran Velocity, Colossus, Locust, and shooty dodge boy with the...
Calvo.
Yeah, thank you.
Calvo's become quite popular these days.
It's because he's insane.
Yeah.
You know who turns him off? Knuckles.
Oh, fucking Knuckles. Continue.
You know what I like? Lightning Reflexes. You know what's very different to Counter Charge? Lightning Reflexes. You know what I really like? Resilience. When it's on Knuckles, don't like it when it's on Compound. Talking out two sides of my mouth here.
Would you grab this list of models, list of rules you want removed? Except for Fisherman there.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Fucking Knuckle. Alright, continue how you bullshitted your way through the game then.
So this is the first time I actually brought Knuckles. And it was because I was like, okay, Engineers, it's going to be 3 goals. Or it's going to be there's going to be a couple of flex takeouts, and I didn't bring Knuckles in any other game, but the reason I wanted him was to try and push towards the flex towards takeouts, because I was thinking I'm confident in my ability to score 3 goals quicker than a 2-2 team being forced to take 4-1.
Yeah.
Right. So that was the plan there. I even forgot about Lightning Reflexes at one point.
No.
Could have stopped Salvo scoring a goal. We had a bit of a laugh about that. So then I had a little token next to him for the entire game, just with a little lightning bolt on it. I was just like, but yeah, it was just, oh man, Knuckles is just such a solid defensive piece. Yeah. Such a solid defensive piece. I mean, I think this is a conversation again that's been had to death. Yeah.
Like, my feelings on Knuckles are well known.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Hot takes, Knuckles good. Yeah.
Have you changed your mind about Knuckles? No. Carrying on.
So I kicked off. Siren went up. She just nosed it over the line. Colossus came up to receive.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That's plenty.
Didn't get rid of the ball?
He did, which worked for me.
For the model who got it still in range.
Passes it off to Locus. And we're talking after the game here. And Ed went, as soon as Siren went in, he was going, oh, yeah. Because I thought, oh, I'll just retrieve it and pass back. And then when I dodged, I got the wrap was seduced. I got the red wrap because obviously 2-2, I hit everything in the world. Yeah. So I got the seduced wrap to the single momentous dodge. And as soon as I dodged forward, he said it was like, oh no, like, why would you pass backwards, of course? And then, so I forced Locust to kick to me.
What's the range of Kaju?
4 inches.
Four inches.
She's got a 9-inch sprint.
But in a world of kick for kick, like you're never that far away. No, so
when she's got the 9-inch sprint, so she flew past Colossus to the tip of engagement, which gave me the distance to get it onto him. And then I think I took the dodge with the pass to bring her closer to the goal. And the superb thing about hitting seduced off into the Engineers Guild is they've all got such reliable kicks. It's like 4 dice.
Yeah.
So even when they're on their own line, and because like when you try this normally and you're going into a guild with like 3-6 kick and they're maybe they're being engaged by one of their own guys, 2-6, is that reliable?
Yeah, they're technically counter-friendly.
That's it, yeah. So like, because they're friendly to you while they're making the pass, like your own guys can crowd you out. So, yeah,
they're quite a Kaju-friendly guild, Engineer, because they've got a lot of 1-inch melee, very solid kit.
Yeah.
And arguably the most solid kit outside of Fishermen.
That's it. The fact the 4 got took down to 3, and I was like, cool, I don't even need to spend a bonus time on this. I'm going in.
Yeah.
So I had that, and then I just sort of sacrificed Siren. I was just like, cool, you've done your thing.
You traded for mid.
And yeah. I felt like she was looking back at me, and I was just sort of wiping a tear from my eye, just going, I'm sorry, you're staying over there. And then just got turned inside out by the rivet plus a million tack on
in
everyone.
In the Guild Ball world, where is the coach in the game world meant to be? Like, he's just like behind the goal, or just off pitch behind the...
I don't know. Yeah,
you're like just looking over, just found like all the way back there, like in the going, fun cup. <Yeah. laughs> Did she get it? Yeah, I'm alright. The Evoker automatic handgun. Nobody's your ball done.
Yeah, but
that's the trade, isn't it?
Yeah, so it went out, ball came out, salvo did salvo, and at the bottom of the turn scored. Then I got Shark to, funnily enough, score a goal. And that was the point where I could see when he was looking for the goal kick that just wasn't anywhere, because I'd managed to push forward in a nice sort of curve, so there was just like a horrible threat saturation. Mm. And I just pretty much, wherever it went, I could get someone to retrieve it and go off. He really slowed me down, like took it onto high defense models, or like came forward and like managed to strip it. But like Siren could just seduce off, like Siren was Colossus's best friend, you know. Colossus came, when Siren jogged on, I brought her on at too steep an angle and Colossus almost shoved her straight back off.
Yeah.
But it was just, she was saved, but she was just short. She was just short, which was obviously great for me, because that meant she could then just come in. Yeah. It helps when you don't lose your models.
Very good.
I managed to get the goals quickly. Like, I mean, I think Ed scored a goal, and I think it was 2 takeouts. I think it was a goal and 2 takeouts over 2, rather than 2 goals. But he got 2-8, and I just managed to close it out.
Yeah.
Because when you're in the 8-8 sort of point is really scary when you're playing football games.
Yeah.
Because it's like, either score now or I go to get momentum and give you a chance to put your foot in the door.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Well, a fundamental problem is that when you've got 8 and you know you're in for the last one, desperate manoeuvre that would normally be quite dangerous to pull in a normal game, obviously just end the game.
Yeah.
So it's not even like a regular trying to get a regular goal. All of a sudden you can go for kind of cranky shit that you'd normally never pull until 8 point. Kicking, you get to 8, like, yeah, I just need that goal and I'm good from there. But kitchening can just go out the window. Like, whoever can kill me afterwards, immaterial. So yeah, it's not even like you're just playing your regular game. Both of you are like, well, if I just get hold of that ball, no matter how crazy or weird those players get, all of a sudden just shit flying around and yeah. Dangerous position to be in on the football end. But you're the fisherman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I'm always, when fishermen are 8 up, I'm always like, ah, for fucking fuck's sake.
Well, what I realised on my own was I won all the games I kicked. Which I've never ever been in that position before. I've always had to receive the ball, throw it down the line, fathom shuttles up. I mean, a squaddy, who could it possibly be? Shuttles up, scores a goal for fun. And I'm like, brilliant, cool. Going into turn two with a goal. But what I was able to do with Siren, except one game where I missed it, was activation one. What'd you do? Cool, I go 4 points up. So it's a thing where the game is now, I don't have to score 3 goals. The game is now, I have to score 2 goals. All of my guys are still on the deployment.
Yeah.
You know.
First activation goal, we can have and kiss it to be.
Yeah. We're 2 activations in and I'm 4-0 up.
Yeah.
Like, out of a game where I'm looking to try and close the game out by turn three, really. And that's a late one for me. I like to close it out turn two, turn three, 4 at a push. I don't think I've won any games that have gone to turn 5.
Yeah.
Like, because by then, my guys are dying, whereas I need to score.
Well, that is the thing, isn't it? Preferably the way it goes, turn one, you get a goal at some point. Mm-hmm. Preferably a goal right at the beginning of turn two, if the momentum's been kind. And then the remainder of turn two is just fucking closing out. 5 activations to try and round it off. 4 if mascot float around. But yeah, that, man, there'd been that fucking 18-year-old situation, just having Shark floating around. Even if he's dead, Fathom as well, the kind of range they can put out. Yeah, there are how many situations we've been playing, and I'm going for that goal kick and going, there's just nowhere I can put it now without just flat out sabotaging my own game.
Yeah.
I'm going like, I've just got, and then again, there are times where I'm like, I've just got to hope for the best. That's my defence. And there are times where I'm like, I can't even score a goal.
Mm.
If I don't win with whatever I'm doing, even if I score a goal, he gets the ball back, the game's over, effectively.
Yeah,
that thing of like going, I can't even fucking score at the minute.
That's what I absolutely, my favourite position to be in is 8-4 up into a football team,
because
it's just like, you can't even score, so you've now got the, you now have to buy time so you can to get a bottom first goal, 2 goals in a row, so that just gives me the rest of this turn to dogpile on you, put bodies in the way, tentacles just stands in front of the goal, like, cool, okay, lose a dice, I'm negating your bonus time, I'm costing you momentum, I'm costing you, like, I love Shark. I love him. You know, I just wish people had been telling me. I said to Dave Cameron, saw my team that I was playing at the team event, and it was pretty much the same 6 the entire day. You know, it was Corsair, Tentacles, Fathom, Angel, Siren, one of the Sakanas. Right, one of the Sirens, one of the Sakanas. And he looked at me and was going, "That's your 6." I was like, "Yeah." And it was a while ago now, so I can't remember the exact conversation, but along the lines of, why aren't you playing Shark? And like, to try and wind him up, I was just going, Shark hasn't got a range retrieval. Shark doesn't have a tackle on one. Corsair's better at football.
To be fair, he's not far off. He's not like a shit fucking striker, isn't it? Like, 4-8 kick, but any model, basically, fucking feasible with a goal scorer. Again, there are situations where Corsair does beat Shark, I think, quite readily. But yeah, Shark's numbers are just too fucking good. At the end of the fucking day, you're just better at the fucking goal game, isn't it? Like, no argument to it. Which we'll see in round 4.
Yeah, rolling into round 4. This is probably my longest game of the day.
Yeah.
This is the one that sort of stretched, and we almost, I think we might have almost got to dice down. I know I got very low on clock because I was having to think my way out of everything. Played into Dave Hunt. He played Butchers. He brought Veteran Boar. Mm. And I was like, okay. And as soon as he put down Veteran Boar, I was going, note to self, caught in a net. I was like, if I can get that off at the right time, I can just turn him off. I can turn his team off for a turn.
Yeah.
Right? Because things like, at one point, Vet Ox went in and was just sort of beating up Fathom and Angel. And I was like, oh, cool, thank God that's over. And he was like, cool, end of activation. They both take 3 damage. And I was just like, oh, my God, they're almost dead. Like, you know what I mean? But I was, yeah, it was just a really good game. But Tenderizer, man, makes goals difficult. +1 TN. Siren cannons in, you know, gets the ball, dodges into a great position, goes to the shot. And he was like, cool, hitting on 5s. And I was like, oh, like I had 2 momentum. I was taking the shot, I was engaged, so I was 3 down to 2, bonus time back up to 3. Yeah. And as I was about to roll it, he was like, Not like a, he was just go. I was like, okay, three dice, looking for a four, and he was like, oh, tenderizes gold defense, you're looking for a five. I was like, oh yeah, and I was like, rolled it. Obviously, didn't get a five. Like the ball scattered, and I was just there was a point where I just sat there and I just went, this isn't game. Talk yourself off the cliff. This isn't game. I can come back. You know, like so. Sorry, just obviously turns into red mist.
Yeah.
The benefit of that was I'd brought a round to be almost in line with the goal token. So some of the models were pulled back and a lot of the butchers were bunched up. And I was just like, you know what that is? That shark goes in, tackles, builds momentum to secure next, caught in the net at the top of the next, right? And I was like, that was the plan. So go in, score the goal. Ball comes back out. Shark goes in, caught in the net, hit Vetox momentum, hit Vetox momentum, hit Vetox momentum, dodge, 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 dodge. Look at that, I'm in tapping. Completely forgetting the reason I just put caught in a net down.
Yeah.
Scored the goal. And because when I did caught in a net, I was like going, cool, that's all these guys go minus four. And I saw the look on Dave's face, like that, like a, oh no. And I was just like, cool, okay, I think I've bought myself a turn here. Because the thing is, we've been saying that I like shorter games. Long, drawn-out games gives them a chance to kill more of my models while I'm pursuing the ball.
Yeah.
So I prefer short games because I'm more likely to win them, right? And what had happened was, I was like, I essentially thought, caught in a net buys me a turn. I was like, cool, what are you going to do? You can't like come at me. But I'd like caught in a net. And then in dodging to get into tapping, I put like shark. I intentionally took shark out of vet ball's range, and then like with the momentous dodges, didn't pre-measure anything, brought him straight into vet ball, and I was just like, and he was just like, cool, vet ball goes, and I was like, what have I done? Like just shark turns into just a pile of gore on the floor.
But you wait up at that point.
Yeah. I was eight. That's when no sir, might have been four.
Yeah.
Might have just scored the one goal at that point, and that's when I thought it was all over. But then Shark comes back in, and he's a rapid boy, so he's back in the game like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so used to, if I'd lost my captain when it was Corsair, it was like, cool, this is two turns before he's back in, this is game.
Yeah.
Whereas Shark's just like, quick foot if necessary, and he's like, right, I'm back, what are we doing? But yeah, it went really, really went down to the wire. Really went down to the wire, really close game. I was just hemorrhaging players. And this is another one of them ones where it was 12-8. But if I missed that goal or had that goal not happened, Dave just wins. Like there was two of my players, I think, literally were on three health with Vet Ox just next to them. Literally Vet Ox just goes, okay, momentum clears conditions because Shark had knocked him down at one point. Vet Ox jogs forward, ends his activation, I win. You know, so it was just so on the table for him. But yeah, I was really pleased because with the final shark goal, I was hitting momentum, and then I spiked on an attack, and I was like, okay, cool. I just tidal surge tenderizer 4 inches away. He's not in his bubble anymore. Nice. I'm hitting on force. I'm hitting on force again. Yeah.
How many people push their luck with overranging, and you've like don't dump it on anything other than the sure thing. Like, yeah, keep tenderizing your base to make for that goal.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, man, that must have... I can already feel that. Going like, oh, yeah, like hitting on five, pretty fucking good number. Even four, you know what's happening. When you're just like, yeah, it's all tidal surge, you're gone. Like, that fucking...
And I've gone from absolutely hating tenderizer because there's nothing I can really do about tenderizer in my Corsair list.
Yeah.
And then Shark is suddenly just like, cool, tidal surge, out you go. Or he's like push dodges at a push. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He suddenly becomes a target right next to the goal that I can kind of control because he's only like 3-1.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the 2-inch melee is unpleasant. But, you know,
you've got options.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, you can just buy a tidal surge if push really comes to shove, sprint, tidal surge, shot.
I was talking to someone, it's a good few days ago now, and it's doing my head, and I can't remember who it was, so sorry. But I was talking to someone, and they were saying, yeah, it's great, you've got a 3-1 momentum vending machine right next to the goalpost.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah.
Okay, that could make goal defence so good, though. That push onto the end, you can't overstate how good that is. Because to be honest, if you put tender, I could just bake to bake for the bloody goal. If he's being attacked, they're in tapping range.
Mm.
So helping out by, like, if it's push there, they're going to get it anyway. At least you've got a chance. That push onto the end, it helps you in them really stretched out situations where they're going to the extent of their kick. I'm like, oh, And you're probably going to get in the way, even if you just sat right directly in the front.
Big old base, isn't it?
Yeah, like you have to have a pretty fucking clean angle just to circumvent him taking a dive off you.
And the good thing is, because like there was more than once I was looking at it, I was tempted to go in for the tap in, but I was like, I don't want to get any closer to the butchers. Because it's that sort of thing where like you can just sort of imagine like Fathom and Angel, they're going up together, like sort of getting ready for their big play as they get closer towards the goal. And they look up and they see Vetbor and the guys just sharpening their axes, and they're like, yeah, I don't really want to get close to that. Like, because the 4-2 potential trade when you're going into tapping and there's a load of butchers there becomes, yeah, a 4 absolutely 2 trade.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, well, when you get that kind of trade, one problem as well, like you almost always lose the momentum race off of that as well.
Mm.
Mm. Like, yeah, it's not just a 4-2, it's kind of a 4-2, and I've likely given up my first go, which can be a death sentence for a lot of teams. I don't, that's why I don't mind the 4-2 trade too much. It's kind of like something I met peace with relatively early.
Yeah.
And I'm quite happy just to bully a model with one health, build a boatload of momentum off him, then start next turn with a boatload of momentum, and I can go about my business.
Mm.
But yeah, but good job.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I'm really pleased with that. Like, yeah, when we were heading over, I was going, I was saying in the car, I'm getting off this. I said I'm getting off this streak I'm on. I was like, I'm gonna go equal. I'm going 2-2 today. That's what I'm gonna do. And I've come out one better. Really pleased with that. You know, the one game I did lose was to someone who I know plays really well. Whenever we've played, he's come out on top. Strong player. It kind of made me think. Does Corsair come into the Farmers? But I mean, they're hitting 2 damage on 1, so Tough Hide is like run straight through there, you know. They've got so much beef to chew through, so much health, so many boxes to tick. It's kind of hard to take him out with the cut. Like if I'm going for my Corsair, if I'm bringing a couple of, you know, if I'm bringing the Smash Boys, they'll probably do it kind of slowly, but they will do it. I wonder if.
But to be fair, them amber shenanigans for prescribing for the kind of thing Cocker just have dealt with.
Yeah.
He'd have gone up and pulled her in.
Well, it would have been a completely different game with Corsair, you know. Festival wouldn't have been able to just throw amber into my face, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's that thing of, I would think of, when you go like, how have I improved or whatever? Like, if you play that game directly again right after and everything was repeated, you'd have done things differently, obviously. Okay, it's actually part of the new Captain Blue, sort of like, legendary. Okay. Instead of just having Shakana walk in front of her and go, well, that 5-inch turned into 1-inch because I've just put someone there.
Mm.
Like, yeah, it's the kind of thing you can counter with time. But, yeah, like, I think that's a fair enough assessment of it. Like, yeah, if you could have repeated the game over, I think you would have obviously done better and you would have been able to counter him a bit better. But that's part of playing the bloody game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Who would have known that? Hot takes, you heard it here first. The more you play, the better you get.
Indeed. Yeah. Especially, yeah, against the same team.
And yeah.
Can you memorise things that happen, especially in patterns? Yes. Oh,
yeah. I must say that coming off this win streak, you know, partially down to yourself, you know, it helped. When I got pretty down about the game after January, and we played a bit more, and I've started to come back. But good friend of the pod, Josh, has run me through the montage. You know, ran me through the meat grinder to get me on top form. He's it's kind of been like that teacher student montage where you know, in Kill Bill, when she keeps getting it wrong and she just gets wrapped on the knuckles and then, like, the whisker flick, and it's just like again, except like he's just been much nicer about the whole thing, because I don't think it's possible for him to not be nice.
Yeah, Josh is one of the nicest dudes you're ever likely to meet.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oh, yeah, he had a kid quite recently, didn't he?
Mm.
Yeah, God bless Josh. I hope things are going well for you, buddy, if you're listening.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think entering 2020, I think it's about as good as you can get on the Guild Ball end. You're coming off a nice win streak.
Yeah, yeah.
We're ready to embrace the new year.
Yeah, new year, new
ready to end of February.
Yeah, yeah, new year, new me in March.
Yeah, we've got to the milk just before it expired. It's still good for coffee and tea.
Wouldn't have cereal with it, but you know.
Yeah, don't push your luck.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm feeling good about the future. I'm cautiously optimistic about Steam Forward events coming forward. looking forward to the Shearers, who are just around the corner.
Shepherd.
Oh, fucking hell. That won't become a problem.
I'm so excited. When I was younger, I was quite into football.
Yeah.
I was very into Newcastle. Alan Shearer was like a childhood hero. So it's just like, oh, I hope that's not the alt, because if it's the alt, then you have to like pre-order to get that. So I'll be on eBay trying to get that model so I can paint him in black and white, and then trying to be freehanding the Nuki Brown Ale logo on the front. It's going to be a whole ordeal.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to playing them all, you know. I like that guy on the giant ram or whatever. That looks cool. Shit, I can't wait to get my hands on that thing.
Is it because the blog said it was going to be like penalties? Yeah. Like sort of... If you do the thing, bad thing happen.
I quite like the feel to that.
And what's nice about the minor guild is that the minor guild.
The minor guild.
Why did you do that? Why could they not be the excavators guild? Like, the nice thing about the minor guilds is that you get them all in one go. You get to play with all of them. You know what I mean? Like, there's no sort of picking up when you pick up a new major guild, sometimes it's a bit like, oh, I don't know who I'm going to try where, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're picking up a minor guild, well, I think I know where I'm going to start.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got two flex pieces, but I think I know where I'm going to start.
Yeah. It's nice to get them out of the box and go, that's my team. And they're generally quite well balanced in and of themselves. I like that about them.
Yeah. You know, minor guilds, they can... dodge 2, then dodge 4, then sprint 8, then shoot 8. They can not take any more than 2 damage at any one go. They're great.
Yeah. I'm
proud of you for not taking that bait.
I'm trying to keep in the structure, the new structure of the podcast. This is my inner professionalism coming out now. Yeah, coming forward in 2020, we're going to try and keep our 2-week schedule from now on.
Big promises.
If you're listening to this, we've already conquered the first hurdle.
Yeah.
But literally, we have like 8 hours of stuff we've just put in the bin.
Yeah.
Because like we've gone, it's been too long, what the fuck have we been doing?
Yeah.
It's February.
Yeah. A, it's been too long, or the stuff where I was listening back after it, and I'm going, this is 2 hours. And an hour and a half, it's talking about Chris Angel. There's no Guild Ball in this.
Can't do that one while drunk. We
didn't. We didn't even do all
of it. Wasn't even an episode, we just left the mic on by accident. But yeah, going forward, we're going to try and keep to a relatively strict 2-week schedule and get back into it on 2020. Mm-hmm. And if you are listening to this, we've defeated, we've defeated the first boss.
We're now getting towards the bell gargoyle.
Making our way there slowly. And if you are listening to this, thank you. I don't know why you've showed up on us.
If we're still in your feed, if your podcatcher doesn't think this is a deactivated feed and has automatically dropped it, it certainly isn't deactivated. I'm still paying for the bloody Libsyn, so it should still be there for all ears. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. I hope you've enjoyed 2020 so far. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. It's really weird that Best Bad on Boggle.
Yeah. Well, that's not-